Star Wars Action News is brought to you exclusively by Brian's Toys. At briansToys.com, you can find Star Wars toys and collectibles from 1977 to the present. Brian's Toys has it all, from vintage toys and action figures right up to the latest releases. And when checking out, be sure to say you were referred to Brian's Toys by Star Wars Action News. So go check out the world's largest selection of Star Wars toys at briansToys.com.
Star Wars Action News presents Republic Forces Radio Network, bringing you frontline reports from the Clone Wars. We are here to bring you recaps and comments on each episode of this new Star Wars adventure. This week, Season 2, Episode 5, Landing at Point Rain.
Hello everyone, this is Jerry here to bring you this week's episode of Republic Forces Radio Network. It's been a long 2 weeks, and we certainly want to thank everyone for tuning back in with us. But if you've been suffering from Clone Wars withdrawal, then hopefully you went out this past Tuesday and picked up a copy of Clone Wars Season 1 on Blu-ray and DVD. But hey, if you're anything like me, then maybe you put this bad boy in your Christmas list already. I want to remind everyone that there are only 3 episodes left of Republic Forces Radio Network that you can download from the Star Wars Action News feed. After that, you need to make sure that you're signed up through the RepublicForces.com feed, or subscribe to Republic Forces Radio Network directly through iTunes. But hey, you should be doing that anyway, because that's how you can download the show as soon as it's released. Since it's been a couple of weeks, I also want to remind folks that you can follow Star Wars Action News and Republic Forces Radio Network on Facebook at facebook.com/SW Action News or on Twitter, username SW Action News. That way, you can be reminded of all the roundtable discussions, our live chats, and you can even drop your thoughts about each episode. You may even get news of certain episodes that premiere on Wednesday nights instead of Friday nights. And something we haven't mentioned in a while, go to our homepage, RepublicForces.com, and be sure to follow our link to our Cafe Press store, where you can find official Republic Forces Radio Network merchandise. I was thinking about this the other day as I got my tickets for Star Wars in concert. If you're going to one of those shows, then head over there and show your Republic Forces pride. Now we have a very special treat for you this week. If you were at Fan Days 3 a couple weekends ago, then you got to hear a live performance from the cast of Clone Wars. Dave Filoni wrote a special scene that bridges the events of Senate Spy and this week's episode, Landing on Point Rain. So before we get into this week's summary, let's get the setup with the audio from that scene.
So it's my great pleasure again to introduce Dave Filoni, who's going to introduce his cast of voice actors, and we're going to try something very daring. Because normally these guys have weeks and weeks to study their scripts to get motivation from Dave. Bullshit. Dave Filoni.
Hello, guys. This will be a lot of fun, I hope. I have no idea if the script makes any sense. If that's the case, it's my fault. I wrote it really quickly Friday before I got on a plane, and I never read it again after I wrote it. So there could be a glaring error, but that's nothing new for us. You know, continuity-wise, things always change, don't they? So let's hope it works. This is the first time. I just gave to him 5 minutes ago. That's not that uncommon for them. Yeah, we're going to do that in a second. Yep. Thank you, Steve. Nothing like a backseat director. But, you know, as you see, they'll do an excellent job. Let's go down. I would like them to get a sense of who you guys are before we start. So introduce yourself, and if you could, just do the voice of your character.
I'm Tom Kane, and the
Pigeon Master I am.
Yeah.
I'm Dee Baker,
and a voice of the clones, Rex, Cody, Oliver.
I'm always in time to save your life, Sky Guy. Ashley Epstein, aka Snips.
James Arnold Taylor, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Master Pro Koon.
Captain Tabor, I'm Senator Amidala, but you can all just call me Padme.
And I'm Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah! Woo! Yeah,
uh-oh.
found.
Matthew Woods, and I'm
General Grievous,
and the battle droids, Roger, Roger.
I'm Mika Butterman, and I'm Asajj Ventress.
I'm David Acord, and I'm Acord Dean Master.
So it's very exciting. Let me give this a little setup, and then we'll try and give it a go. I wrote two scenes, one for the good guys and one for the bad guys and gals. What I did was, since the last thing you saw was Senate Spy, where Padme had successfully stolen the plans to new battle droid factory on Geonosis, and since there are 2 weeks off where absolutely nothing happens in the Clone Wars on television, I decided to write a little thing that kind of gets you going towards where we're headed when you come back for the next episode in November. So the good guys are talking about basically the results of Padme's mission briefly, and Obi-Wan's going to point out some interesting things about Anakin's decision on the last mission regarding Clovis. And then we're going to go to the bad guys, where General Grievous is off having fun obliterating an entire civilization. The fun thing for me in that little bit is that my friend Dave Acord down there plays A4D, who is General Grievous' doctor droid from Lair of Grievous. And like most new characters that I really liked, we killed them. And we killed him. And it's always that thing when we get to the point where I go, man, I really like that character. Oh yeah, he's dead now. I just recently did it to Seth Green as Toto. I really liked Toto, and I was like, yeah, Seth, you did a great job, but now you're dead. So the handy thing about droids is that they can be reassembled, and I've often wanted to reassemble A4D, so this is my opportunity to get to do that, and Dave is very happy about that. But it's not really occurring in an episode, and these will be the only people that know this actually happened. No one's going to believe you. So. But let's get going. Good luck, guys. I hope it makes sense. It's my fault if it doesn't. Have fun. That's basically what I tell them every time. Do you guys need any notes, any directions?
Well, are you going to read the stage directions or anything? Or?
Yeah. Steve, you want to read the stage directions?
Oh, sure.
Steve likes to perform. How about Steve Santa can be there? So, this would be the wide little paragraph to come in here. You can just read this, Steve. I'm trying to be a little more robust and make it exciting. Really try to do my dialogue service, make it exciting. Star Wars, it's kind of a space adventure. If you're familiar, there's some really exotic locations they go to, so try and make a scene, you know.
This is what happens every episode.
Faster, more intense. How's that?
Yeah.
I've actually gotten that direction before. All right, good luck, guys.
Rick also knows how to make you nervous.
Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous.
The establishing shot, Coruscant. Jedi Temple exterior, day. Traffic buzzes past the towers as we push in on the temple. Interior Jedi Temple hallway, day. Obi-Wan and Ahsoka greet Padme and Anakin in the hallway towards the Jedi War Room.
Well, it's good to see you up and about again, Padme. Congratulations on the success of your mission.
Thank you, General Kenobi. Of course, the mission would have failed had General Skywalker, not accompanied me.
Yes, well, you're too kind. We all know you were the one taking the risk.
Hey, I was taking risks.
Of course you were, Anakin. The question is, how many of them were unnecessary?
Well, he was only gone a day or two, so I guess 50% were unnecessary.
Yes, that's right. I ask you. You start to keep track now, don't you?
They ignore them, Padme. They don't realize no one else finds this funny.
Actually, quite entertaining.
There, you see, Anakin?
Oh, go ahead. Laugh it up. But in the end, the risks both of us took paid off. Lot-Dot is a traitor. Everything the Jedi have been reporting about the Trade Federation and the banking clan is true.
And I'm certain that you never let your emotional involvement get the better of you, and you brought back proof of these claims, yes?
Proof? Padme was poisoned. What further proof do we need?
Anakin, if the Senate or the Chancellor were willing to act based solely on the word of the Jedi, then the corporations would have been put to trial years ago.
He's right, Anakin. I've seen the accusations against the Trade Federation come up in the Senate, and they always fall on deaf ears. We couldn't even convict Gunray after he invaded Naboo.
But Clovis admitted everything.
So naturally, you took him into custody, yes? Oh, no, no, wait. You did the exact opposite of that. You left him on Keto Memoria.
I had no choice.
I won't believe you. I really, really do. But sometimes, Anakin, you place your feelings ahead of the mission, and I'm afraid in this case...
I'm afraid in this case, Anakin might have put my safety and our friendship ahead of the mission, yes. But Obi-Wan, I can't believe that Anakin's mentor, if put in his place, you would have not done the same thing. After all, we all are friends, are we not?
Yes. Prettier friend than I am, so I suppose you're right.
They all pause and smile at their odd argument.
This is uncomfortable. Come along now, I can't keep Master Yoda waiting. It's time to see what the Counselor and the Council has decided to do about the revolt on Genosis and the new droid families there.
They all start to walk towards the war room. Ahsoka walks alongside Padme.
You're really good at defusing those two. You have to teach me your methods.
Actually, most of the time, I defeat them with common sense. That's your best weapon with these two.
They enter the war room where they find Master Yoda and Plo Koon waiting for them. A hologram of the planet Geonosis looms above them, and another smaller planet is on the display screens along the walls. Welcome back from your mission, Senator. More successful than we hoped you were.
Thank you, Yoda. I only hope we discovered this plot in time.
Perhaps, answer your question, this transmission from Captain Rex can. Yoda plays a hologram transmission from Captain Rex, who went ahead to scout Geonosis.
This is Captain Rex, 501st recon mission to Geonosis. Upon arrival in orbit, we were unable to establish any communication with the clones on the surface. A preliminary scan indicated massive construction in both the northern and southern hemispheres of the planet. There appear to be several droid factories, which are already operational, and many more in the final phases of construction. This goes far beyond a simple revolt. We're looking at a full-scale invasion of the planet if we want to take it back. I shall provide a further breakdown of the planet's defenses if we scan when my mission is complete. And please note in further episodes that I can handle massive amounts of coffee. Rex out.
The room is quiet. I wonder why.
I believe that's the most we've ever heard Rex speak.
It is, sir.
So, Jack.
I wasn't really out when I said I was, sir, but now I'm out.
Wait, now he's back in. No out. All right. Looks as though we're going back to Geonosis.
Great.
Not you, Skywalker. Master Plo Koon has a different mission for you.
The planet Doran has been attacked by Grievous because of Doran's orientation between two nearby black holes. We need your expert space combat tactics to help guide the command ships and fighter squadrons.
Of course, Master Plo. Whatever I can do to help.
Kenobi, with you shall go, Master Mundi and Master Luminar. Skywalker and Master Plo Koon shall aid you, if successful on Doran they are.
Good. Well, we'll need whatever ships fleet we can spread out is there. As Captain Rex said, this will be a full-scale planetary invasion. We're settling the score on Geonosis once and for all.
Da, 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 da. Let's hear it for the good guys.
So before the bad guys start, I just want to say that was amazing. I'm really impressed. That was a lot of dialogue, more than I
it's
thought.
All in the writing.
No, I mean, it's really wordy stuff, and I thought they did a great job. Like, a great job with some difficult stuff. So congratulations, guys. I'm talking about it, I mean, I can say, like, when you write this stuff or direct it, it's never really fully alive until they say it. We temp every episode with, like, my crew up at the Skywalker Ranch, because that's how we get an idea of the episode works. And then we replace it with all these talented actors, and we're like, wow, it really does work. You never know until, so thank you so much. And now the bad guys, we'll see the other half of this. I'm really excited to see how this goes. Steve, take it away. You did a great job as well, Steve. Thank you.
Grievous sits on his command ship, witnessing the devastation his army has inflicted on the planet Doran. He's gloating in his success.
Yes, Commander. Press the attack. I don't want any of that Kel'Dor filth to survive. The people of Planet Doran must suffer the consequences for staying loyal to the Republic.
Roger, roger. The commando droids will hunt down any survivors.
Very good.
The doors to the bridge open, and the Doctor droid A4D enters.
Master, you have an urgent transmission on Channel 5. Why have you not answered it?
Not now, Doctor. I'm in the middle of a battle.
But the transmission has a top-level priority code. It must be important.
Ah, what could be more important than the destruction of a civilization?
I can compute there are several possible answers to that question.
Silence! Who is sending the transmission?
Asajj Ventress, my lord.
Ventress? Dooku's plaything? I don't have any time to waste on her.
She is Count Dooku's personal assassin. I would answer a call if I were you.
Ah, but you are not me, Doctor. For I am the leader of the most powerful droid army that the galaxy has ever seen. And you are a simple servant droid.
Doctor and advisor.
I tire of your comical wit. Do not make me regret having you reassembled.
Of course not. But if the message Ventress relays comes from Count Dooku, it would be wise to hear what she has to say.
Very well. Put her through. But if I miss any good destruction while I'm distracted, I'll have your head backed on a platter.
Yes, my lord.
A hologram of Ventress appears before Grievous and the Doctor.
Why, General, thank you for receiving my transmission. Finally.
My pleasure, Assassin. Now, what can I do for you? I'm rather busy.
So I hear. It must be difficult for you to tear yourself away from all your toy soldiers.
I don't expect a mere assassin to understand the intricate art of warfare.
No, I guess not. That's best left to droids like you.
Oh, my.
I am no droid!
Oh, that's right. My mistake. It's so hard to remember sometimes.
The heart that beats inside my metal body is that of a true warrior.
Interesting. Count Dooku seems to consider me his best warrior, and yet I have no heart at all.
A fact that is not hard to believe, witch.
You flatter me, General. But allow me to get to the point.
Please do.
Intelligence has reported a large Republic fleet leaving orbit around Coruscant. It seems the planet Doran is finally going to receive reinforcements to counter your attack.
A meaningless gesture. The more forces they send here, the better the diversion will work. And there shall be even less forces to raid Geonosis.
I agree. Except the general in charge of the reinforcements is Skywalker. And you can bet his brat went along with him.
That changes nothing.
Perhaps not. But if you fail to detain Skywalker at Doran, Geonosis may be in jeopardy.
I will not fail.
Well, General, who suggested you would? I look forward to our next encounter.
The hologram fades off.
Well, that went better than expected.
Recall the troops and prepare the fighters. We must prepare for Skywalker's arrival.
That's it.
Change parts now.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Nika, I love your benches. It's so awesome.
Thank you.
Now on to this week's episode, Landing on Point Rain. Landing on Point Rain can be simply summarized with three words. Action, action, action. Okay, well, I won't be quite that lazy, but this episode is already what the forums are calling putting the wars in Clone Wars. And, well, Star Wars too, for that matter. When this episode came on Friday night, I actually got home a few minutes late. I walked in the house at 8:02 and turned the TV on first thing. Now, because of that, I missed all the setup for this episode. However, during the second commercial break, I looked over at my wife and said, "This is the best episode of Clone Wars yet, and I don't even know what they're trying to do." Now, fortunately, I got some of the replays later and found out. The newsreel tells us that the Republic is preparing a massive invasion on Geonosis to take down Poggle the Lesser's factories. We begin with Obi-Wan and Ki-Adi Mundi reminiscing about the events that occurred previously on Geonosis that started the Clone Wars. And by the way, this is the Clone Wars debut of Master Mundi. Anakin and Ahsoka return from Doran, which is the home planet of the Keldor, Plo Koon species. Sky Guy and Snips are bragging about their number of kills. Anakin is proud of his 76 kills versus Ahsoka's 55. The Jedi gather with Yoda, Mace Windu, and Chancellor Palpatine and plan a three-pronged assault on Geonosis to stage a ground assault just outside the shield protecting Poggle and the factories. One of the mission objectives here is to capture Poggle. So Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Ki-Adi Mundi take their respective clone commanders and they enter Geonosis from three different directions. But they are met with a barrage of laser fire and Geonosian fighters. The action starts and it gets intense quickly with many gunships going down in the process. Before long, all three Jedi have been shot down. Anakin, Ahsoka, and Rex are quickly pinned down by Geonosian gunners, but they press on and eventually make their way to the Eastern Barrier. Obi-Wan is but one of only two survivors from their downed gunship, and they're rescued by clones Waxer and Boyle. Ki-Adi Mundi and his clones end up taking a shortcut through a cave, and they are in over their heads and winged Geonosian warriors. Anakin and Ahsoka load up with thermal detonators and intend to take the wall down. The wall looks like a giant dam with gun turrets popping out all over the place. On top of the wall are dozens of battle droids and super battle droids. They use their grappling hooks to scale the cannon wall and start going after the droids. They are surprised by two destroyers, but with some help from Rex, they take him down and deliver a package to an unsuspecting battle droid. The thermal detonators explode, bringing the wall down, and Anakin and Ahsoka use the Force to make their way back to the ground, and they bring Rex down with them. And after that, they're on their way. Still trapped in the cave, Ki-Adi Mundi orders in some clones with flamethrowers who make short work of the bugs. They meet up with Anakin, who is able to get some air support from Admiral Yularen. With that assistance, they find their way to Obi-Wan, who is badly wounded. They conclude their mission by working their way into the shield area around the factories. They are successful in knocking out the shield generator. Now, all this time, Anakin and Ahsoka have been keeping score. This time, Ahsoka wins with 60 to Anakin's 55. But, come to find out, the real winner was Ki-Adi Mundi, who beat them all with 65. Now, let's continue on into this week's roundtable to discuss landing at Point Rain.
Okay, let's take a poll. Who actually liked this episode? Me.
I loved it.
There we go. All right, everybody, welcome to Republic Forces Radio Network. This is our roundtable discussion of the episode Landing at Point Rain. And it kind of sounds like a recent war film, which I think is somewhat intentional, which we'll talk about a little bit later. This was the fifth episode of this season and production number 7 for season 2. But hey, let's go down the list here and see who we got. Let's everybody introduce ourselves and tell us what you thought about the episode. Let's start with Glenn.
Well, I didn't really want to be first on that. Glenn, as Arnie mentioned, I provided audio of the Clone Wars panel from Fan Days. I like this episode, as you'll hear on that panel. Dee Bradley Baker said it was clone-tastic. There's obviously a ton of action in this episode, and I thought it actually made sense and all flowed together. So I thought it was pretty good. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the rest of this plays out. And as Dave Filoni says, I won't expect it to all be this much action, although George Malukas might want it. But I was very pleased by this episode. That's all.
Hey, it's Dave here. And there are no words to describe how awesome this episode was. It was just, it was like George Lucas's dream come true. Faster, more intense. Just little story, but this episode didn't really need a story. It was just like, it was just so awesome. Like, I hate to sound like a little kid on Christmas morning, but it was awesome. And I don't know how to describe it other than just awesome.
Hey, you know what, Dave? I'm glad you sound like a little kid at Christmas, because that's what Star Wars should get out of us. And you know, I gotta agree with that. But Dan, why don't you go next?
Hey, everybody! I really enjoyed this episode. It was some great hot clone action. Just a little bit of a pun intended there. hot clone action. Come on.
They said that on the Clone Wars panel too.
Oh, God. Okay, now I feel dirty. but no, it was really good. It was really action intense. We got to see the Jedi kind of almost failing, not pulling it off with little to no effort on their part. I mean, they were getting shot down. They were having to overcome obstacles, and there were a couple times where it was kind of iffy. I mean, we saw Obi-Wan get seriously injured, so. It was a good episode. I enjoyed it very much.
Okay, Baron?
Hey, everybody. Glad to be back. This is Barrett, Master Collect 'em All from the forums, coming to you from the Kessel Run. I can't do it as quick as Han, but I'm working on it. I really enjoyed this episode. I just had to keep thinking about the last discussion we had on the roundtable a couple weeks ago where, Jerry, you said that, you know, you didn't know who exactly the last episode was for. You know, I kind of said it was for these people. And you said, well, the next episode is what, you know, what really people really going to like. And I totally have to agree with you on that. I think that this could be the first episode made to 3D. I mean, this had a really 3D quality to the animation. And there's a lot of the scenes you could put right in episode 2, Attack of the Clones, with the first Genosian attack. And it would be seamless with the shaky animation and all the lasers. I mean, it was just great. It was great. I love this episode.
Did it not seem like cut footage from episode 2 in a lot of places? I mean, that's how good I thought it was, Barrett. I agree with that. I mean, this could have been, you know, just picked up from the cutting room floor in episode 2. All right, Arnie, what'd you think, man?
I guess I'm a little bit the voice of dissent. I thought this episode was so full of action, and I loved that it was full of action. But action without a story doesn't really get me, and I just didn't feel like there was a lot of story here. It was 30 minutes of action, but it was kind of WWE to me. It was so action for action's sake. A lot of the animation was really good, but there were two things that bothered me that were bad about it. They were so bad, they really bugged me. I don't like how the Geonosians looked, and Ki-Adi Mundi's head looked really ridiculous. It looked like a pointy hat mated with a butt.
Okay, can I point out one thing? He looks like a cone head to begin with. How do you get more ridiculous?
But at least it was lumpy and cohesive in the movies. Here, it looked like he had a crack right up the middle. So I loved the action episode. I love the action in it. I love the flamethrowers. I love the color scheme. I mean, for crying out loud, those colors of the clones with kind of reddish purple and yellow, I loved. And it was so much action. But about 10 minutes in, I'm like, what in the hell?
Well, you know, to kind of put my two cents in there, I mean, overall, I love this episode. I mean, if you heard from the summary, I showed up late when I first watched it. I didn't know why they were there. I didn't know what was going on. I don't know what their mission objective was, and I didn't care. This was just a fun episode. And to your point, Arnie, not a story, no character development, nothing. I mean, you know, what's the plot really? I am giving it the benefit of the doubt that this is a story arc, and this is the energetic starting point. They accomplished their goal of taking down the factory at the end, or whatever they're blowing up. And we saw from the tag that, you know, some other things are going to happen to continue the story. So I'm holding my breath that with two or three episodes or however long this arc is, we're going to have a really good action story and some final action. I think this episode nailed it for me. This was a lot of fun. My son, when the show went off or when the credits were rolling, he just said without prompting, "Wow, this was my most favorite episode ever." And yes, he said most favorite because he's 8. So, but he loves clones. He just loves playing around, you know, with the action figures. And to him, this show nailed it for him too.
Actually, this is supposed to be the starting point of a 4-part story arc. And actually, if you consider Senate Spy as the beginning, where Padme actually discovered the droid factory. This is actually a 5-part episode, which is,
you know what? I didn't even put two and two together with the 2-week break. I didn't even connect Poggle from the last episode to this. I'm so glad you brought that up.
I'm not even entirely sure if there's if Senate Spy is supposed to be part of that story arc or just kind of its own thing. But I don't know, maybe it's just a continuity thing. It just happens to go together just by pure coincidence.
Well, I think that in Senate Spy, where I think it is the first part of this story arc, because they find out where the droid factory is. And I think that that's where all of the story actually happened, was in the beginning of the story arc, which was Senate Spy. And I have to agree with Jerry. You know, I'm finding myself agreeing with Jerry a lot more than I think I should, but I didn't care. I didn't care that, you know, that there wasn't, you know, a poisoning issue in here. I didn't care that there wasn't any sabotage. It was straight up front. you know, good guys versus bad guys. And one of the things I really liked about this story was the camaraderie between the clones and the Jedi. I mean, I always had a big issue with Order 66. Like, Jedi are supposed to be able to sense danger, almost like a spider sense, right? But, you know, their guard is down when it comes to these clones. One of the scenes where, you know, they're carrying Obi-Wan back and they set him down by the boxes, and a clone just walks up to him and injects him in the neck with some medicine. And, you know, Obi-Wan wasn't alarmed or anything. So I could see from this episode how Order 66 could actually wipe out the powerful Jedi.
And you know, that's interesting, though, because I think from a Jedi sensing them perspective, I guess that was sort of the trick is that when Order 66 got turned on, there wasn't malice or motive or intent. It was just duty and following orders. So maybe that was part of Sidious's plan, that, hey, they'll never catch that. But I think that's a good point. You really see, and I think the point of the series, I guess, is to show us how there is a lot of camaraderie, so that when you watch episode 3 all over again, it's just that much more impactful, especially with Cody, since he's, you know, on the forefront of that Order 66.
I watched a clip of Order 66 on YouTube today, and it was just so much more impacting, because I haven't seen episode 3 in a while. Seeing characters that didn't talk in the movies but have pivotal roles in the show, like Aayla Secura, Plo Koon, Ki-Adi-Mundi, seeing them all get shot down like that, and then like by clones that we know now, but like Commander Wolf, Commander Bly, this one Commander Jet, just little things like that, it just made it so much more impactful, and it was just so moving. I'm gonna come out and say it, I almost shed a tear.
Oh man, I'm right there with you.
And then on top of that, it's like Anakin and the younglings. I was like, all right, I'm shutting this off. I can't do this. It was just too much.
Now, Arnie hit on an interesting point that was actually in my notes of things to discuss today. Great action, but Arnie, you hit on the head. Where is the suspense with these characters in with the Jedi? I mean, I saw how Ki-Adi-Mundi dies. I saw how Obi-Wan died, you know, 30 years ago. I know what happens to Anakin. What's there really to be suspenseful here? And, you know, if Dave Filoni's listening, I just make a suggestion. Create for us a slew of Jedi, introduce them in a couple episodes, and slowly pick them off throughout the series. Give us some new people that we can care about, so that when they get offed, we actually feel something, or that we get surprised by what's going on. What do you guys think about that? Do you feel like you can follow along and feel like, yes, this is intense, my God, what's going to happen next?
I think
I agree, but
maybe with the Jedi you don't feel that way, but certain clones like Waxer and Boyle, who knows if they're even going to survive the whole war? They could have died this battle for all we know. Like after they got Obi-Wan, nobody knows. And obviously from what was that episode? Innocence of, I don't know, the one with Numa, the little Twilight girl. We really have some compassion for those clones, and after they got Obi-Wan, nobody knows what happened to them. Like, they could show up later in the season, but as far as we're concerned at the present time, they could have died in like a massive explosion, and that would be very sad, because I like them.
Well, the thing is that you need to focus more on these little clones, like, you know, for the other than Rex and Cody and Greer and whatever commanders have shown up. You know, it's hard to keep track of which background clone is whichever background clone. I recall the one that Cad Bane killed. You know, I didn't really even realize he was in the episode until they thought that Cad Bane was this other clone. Somebody please jump in and tell me who that was.
Denal,
right. So Denal, I didn't
even realize. They even made an action figure of him, and they killed him. Come on.
I was so bummed.
Right.
Denal.
But one thing that Dave Filoni is sort of is very aware. I think that one thing I liked about the Clone Wars panel, which you guys will eventually hear, is that Dave Filoni is very aware of sort of the limitations that they have, and you know they're trying to create more characters and whatever. But I mean, because when they had the you know holocron heist, he's saying, you know, if we go to the Jedi Temple, it's going to be empty because we only have like 7 Jedi, you know. You know, they're sort of aware of the limitations that they have, and that they're sort of, you know, it's hard to build characters, and I guess they just aren't building sort of incomplete characters, which I guess that's the real question. If they could build a sort of stand-in model for just someone to be there, but to use as a character, I guess it's kind of hard. I don't exactly know. It's very easy to clone because they all look alike, but to make people look different looking Jedis that we haven't heard of or may have died. I mean, some of the EU says that very few Jedi died between Geonosis and Order 66. So, you know, the first Geonosis, I guess I have to say now. But yeah, it's really hard when you have, you know, we're like really just happy to see these Jedi that we're familiar with and aren't overly concerned that they're not going to die. But it's kind of interesting, though, with them getting injured and then, but they're not going to die. It's kind of like, well, you know, that's a little bit, you know, it'd be interesting to see Ahsoka get hurt because we don't know. Because, you know, at some point, some people like expect her to die, but we don't really know. So that'd be kind of more interesting because I think Ahsoka still has managed to go through pretty much unscathed. Well, Obi-Wan's gotten hurt a couple times and Anakin's gotten hurt and other people getting hurt. But I think Ahsoka's pretty much unscathed physically, isn't she still? Anybody? But that's my opinion.
You know, I know nothing about 3D animation except for a couple classes I took. But couldn't they just take some of the pirates and put cloaks on them?
cloaks are very hard. they made a big point of that. That, you know, they realize that in the series that there have been very, very few times with them wearing cloaks because they make it look like it's moving and flowing right and stuff. It's very difficult, apparently. So,
okay, but, well, then I am schooled.
Well, to go to your question, Jerry, about your topic about the suspense, and I can only say to that, you know, where is the suspense when you watch a movie for the third time? You know, the suspense is, I have to agree, that it's in the characters that you care about. I mean, we know Ki-Adi-Mundi isn't going to die, and all the rest of them aren't going to die. But, you know, Obi-Wan could have got his leg cut off. I mean, he may have a robotic leg that they could retcon in there somewhere. Or, you care about, for me, the suspense is seeing what moves and how do they use the Force. Not so much if they're going to get injured and die, but I want to see how, you know, because they keep talking about Anakin, he's so powerful. And what is he doing with his Force powers? And this I don't know if that was going to be tough, but I might as well go right into it. But the use of the Force here was, I was right where I wanted Anakin and Ahsoka to be. They used the Force together to, throw Rex over the little castle wall there. They used the Force to skydive and stop themselves from, from killing themselves. And they grab Rex, and they also use the Force to push the rocks away. And that was great use of Force. I mean, that showed the power and, you know, what Anakin is supposed to have over the Force. And, you know, up to this point, correct me if I'm wrong, he really hasn't used the Force at all. So I was really happy about that. That was very suspenseful for me.
If I can talk about one of the uses of the Force there, he throws Captain Rex off the wall. And if I was Rex, I'd be a little bit mad, wouldn't you guys?
I would have been – actually, as I was watching that, I was like, what is he doing? And then he catches him like a foot off of the ground. And I literally said, if I were Rex, I would have been freaking out right now.
If I was Rex, when Order 66 came, I'd be looking for Anakin. Just for this.
Well, I think this is the first time that we've actually seen the Force used to actually stop your fall. I mean,
yeah,
you know, they,
in Downfall of a Droid, they jump from an even higher point and just land.
But, in Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, when Vader throws the Emperor over the wall, you know, into the deep abyss, couldn't he use that technique to slow his fall and not die?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'm guessing he fell into
way off topic, but, you know, my...
Force, you know, lightning, kind of feedback, mumbo, I don't know.
A little bit of panic, perhaps. Anakin was prepared to do it when he jumped off. He wasn't thrown off.
Once again, Arnie puts me in my place. Thank you.
guys, really, what else do we expect from a guy named Skywalker? I mean, this should just be his MO.
It's what I said before. He just failed the role.
And, like, going back to Captain Rex here, the worst part is both Anakin and Ahsoka lift him up, and then they just jump off and essentially just drop him. That's the worst part. They don't even just like say, all right, get ready. And then they just like kind of toss him off. They just drop him. And I really expected him to just splat. And I don't know.
Wasn't there also some background information from episode 2 that the gravity on Geonosis isn't quite as harsh, and that's why those guys can fly, and everybody flies, and, you know, Mace Windu just takes a big jump from, you know, the box seat that Dooku had in the arena, and he just jumps on down. So he kind of does a similar thing yet there. So I think there is some information to where taking a fall. Well, remember Padme too. I mean, she just toppled out of that gunship in episode 2, and I think taking a fall in Geonosis isn't quite as bad as taking a fall on, you know, plants where gravity is 9.8 meters per second squared.
The sand and the low gravity together protects you from falling on Geonosis.
All right, now that we've got Geonosis' gravitational pull all figured out, this was obviously a very action-oriented episode. I mean, if Senate Spy didn't fire a shot, this was the freaking Revolutionary War in like 20 minutes. So, number one, I think a lot of people have responded fairly well to that. And, you know, Arnie, you'd commented about the lack of story. But what I thought was very interesting, if you went to StarWars.com and you watched Dave Filoni's video this week, he talked about how a lot of this was very last minute. Like, they had one episode in mind, and George, like, erased the chalkboard, and they started all over. Brought in a lot of, I don't even remember some of the titles, but brought in a lot of old war films showing footage, which kind of reminded me of how he sort of orchestrated the visuals for the original Star Wars. What did you guys think of this? Was this at least effective from telling a war documentary-type story in this episode?
Well, I mean, even in like certain war movies like Black Hawk Down, there's not much of a story. I mean, there's a basic story. But it pretty much just revolves around that little thing, like that helicopter getting shot down, and they all have to get to him. That's an entire movie length. This is just like 20 minutes of essentially that. Obi-Wan gets shot down, and Ki-Adi and Anakin get shot down, and they both have to get to him. So, I don't know, this reminded me a lot of Black Hawk Down, and there was just certain parts where I felt it didn't even need a story. Well, shouldn't say that. It didn't need a large, in-depth story. It just, it had its point, and we're going. And that's just how it seemed to work, for me at least. Did anybody except for Arnie, did anybody think, like, hey, there's not really much here, what are we going with?
But it did have the story. It did have the story. It had the war story. You know, we see again with the animation. You know, it shows a lot. One of the very specifically when Anakin, they're rushing the tower. You know, you see the Genosians grabbing the clones and flying off over here. Or when Anakin and Ahsoka right before they rush the bridge, they're hiding behind the rock, and you see Rex's hands pointing. You know, that's the story. The story is the war in this. You know, the story is dodging the laser beams and trying to see how many Genosians are in the air and watching Obi-Wan get shot down and not really being able to help himself. You know, the story was in the action. And I don't agree. I don't disagree with Arnie very much. It's probably smart not to. But I have to say the story was in the action, and sometimes you just kind of have to go with it, especially if you're a fan.
Oh, Brent. We're gonna close on this one. Here's the thing. In good drama, action accentuates the story. But in my opinion, action is like salt. I like salt. It spices things up really well. However, I'm not a deer. I don't want to just suck on a salt lick all day. And the story is the action. I want to know what they're fighting for. I want to be invested in the fight. I want to care if they win. This had some wonderful graphics, but it felt like a video game to me, only I wasn't even getting the joystick on this one. It looked tremendous, but I wish that this had been part two of something more critical. I wish they'd been fighting to save the lives of innocents, like in the Ryloth episodes, or, you know, I wish they'd been fighting to get a cure for Padme or something like that.
It's funny that you bring up the point, what is the fighting for? Because Obi-Wan kind of brings up that point when Anakin and Ahsoka are kind of joking about how many kills they've made. And he says to him, he says, you know, how can you joke about this? How you reduce this fighting to a game? And the second time that was brought up was when Ki-Adi Mundi, at the end, where he tells Anakin, I have however many kills he has, which tops him and Ahsoka. And basically what is he saying is, what is the fighting for? So, you know, the Jedi agree with you, Arnie. I'll give you that.
Listen, don't get me wrong. This episode was so fun. But am I the only one who thought it felt like a video game, but somebody forgot to give me the nunchuck controller?
Well, you know, the thing is, there was a Clone Wars video game for PlayStation 2 and GameCube that wasn't this good as this episode. I mean, I played through that game. It was kind of there, but it wasn't as intense as this show. And, you know, I mean, I understand, but I mean, what you're saying, Arnie, but I mean, there was a plot. They're going into Geonosis to you know, try to capture Pog Blesser and shut down these factories. And
is that a plot, or is that, like, again, a video game where they give you the mission summary? You know, it's not a plot. You know what? I enjoyed the episode when I shut off my brain, but I had to shut off my brain.
Like, I agree with you in the sense that it was almost like watching somebody play Battlefront on steroids, but I enjoy it. Like, I have no complaints about that whatsoever. If somebody's playing a game that's, like, big on action, I'll just sit and watch and just enjoy it. And actually, my brother was playing Battlefront today, and I just sat back and watched him play it like it was a movie. Like, I had him crank the music, I had him crank everything, and it was just, we put on the surround sound, so it really felt like I was watching just a badly animated movie. He was playing Battlefront. And then right after that, I watch Attack on Point Rain, and my brain pretty much exploded from all the excitement and just action and just craziness. So yeah, it almost seems like a video game, but is that necessarily a bad thing?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
No, it's not.
If I can't play a video game, yeah, that's a problem.
No, I'm on
the show.
Is
the Clone Wars, Arnie? This is a war episode.
Yes,
they need to have more war episodes. It's too much. It's too many little things. Oh, go in and do like a little nothingness. It's like, it's a war. You need to focus somewhat on the war.
And for the 8-year-old audience or whatever, this was perfect. And for 30 minutes, you know, Dave, like you said, for 30 minutes, I was 8 years old again, thinking, "Wow, this is cool."
Yeah. My son is 5 years old. Okay, and I've been collecting for him ever since he was 1 day old. And he watches the Clone Wars episodes with me, you know, and I have to agree, this was one where he was jumping up and down, and he was yelling out, go, 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 and, you know, he was very excited, and a lot of the other ones, he wasn't, so they nailed it when it came to their demographic. They nailed it.
Sorry, Arnie, to your point, if the next three episodes of this arc doesn't establish something, I'm going to be I'll get more into your boat. But again, everything to me goes back to, think about the overall story arc, and when it comes out on Blu-ray November of 2010, do these four, if you sit down and watch them together, do they create something bigger than what we're reacting to right now? And maybe it will. I'll hold on to that until it happens.
Let me do a little CYA here. If this is the storming the beach of Normandy of the four-part Saving Private Ryan of the Clone Wars, and all of this is explained and justified when they have a little bit more time, I will come back and admit I was wrong and rewatch all of them on the DVR, because this was great action. It was a lot of great action. I'm not denying that. And you know what? You may be exactly right, Jerry. And that's something that, in hindsight, you know, this is the thing. We're doing this as the episodes air, and watching this one out of sequence without context of the future, I had the feelings I had. If next week it all kind of clicks and I'm like, okay, yeah, then it was the great action. And you know, after the inaction of the previous week, it was almost whiplash inducing.
Okay, now I'm gonna change gears for a second, because there's been a lot of joking on the chats about the wonderful commercial that Hasbro was able to run this week with this repaint-orific episode. And before we discuss this, I wanted to read something that StarWars.com had regarding the red Y-Wings. I'm not going to read it word for word, but about a year and a half ago, I did a vintage review on Star Wars Action News with the die-cast vehicles from the late 70s and early 80s that Kenner put out there. And they talk about the little blurb in the blog here is called "Why Red? The Truth Behind the Red Wings," or I'm sorry, the Red Y-Wings. And it actually says that what we saw in this show paid homage to the Kenner release of that die-cast vehicle to where it had red stripes, which appeared to be kind of an error of, hey, why did Kenner do that when they're gold in the movie, episode four, that is. And it talked about how they originally were going to be red, but they couldn't make the blue show up. And you guys probably heard this, story on why R2 doesn't look blue and the sky scenes and everything. Well, you remember from the novelization of Star Wars, it was the X-Wings were Blue Squadron, and the Y-Wings, I don't know what they were in the book, but they originally were going to be red, and this show tips a hat to that. And I thought that was just really cool. Being a vintage fan, I thought that was awesome. Now, that said, first thing when I saw those red Y-Wings, I was like, oh, crap, there's going to be another $65 Y-Wing, appropriately called the Bomber, coming towards you. What do you guys think about just all the new visuals here? Do you think it was just a big, get ready to unload your wallet, and let's see all these new clones come out? What do you guys think about all the new designs and the new schemes?
If I can jump in on this one, hosting the collecting show Star Wars Action News. And I have to say that I did think, well, this is why I no longer buy three of everything, is because now I'll have one yellow Y-Wing and one red Y-Wing versus three of each. But I really, really liked, and I was grooving on, the color scheme this time. Yeah, they're going to repaint everything. But I much prefer them to repaint something that looks cool versus, goth troopers and all the black wearing, angsty troopers. I thought that they had, whoever was the art director of this episode, did some really cool things. The clones that were the yellow and reddish purple, I mean, admittedly, everything was kind of looking orangey because it was Geonosis, so I wasn't able to get a real good fix on those. But I thought that the yellow contrasting with the kind of camo-ish armor was great. And what I hope was the toy out of this whole episode, I know we're going to see a red Y-Wing, and I know we're going to see clone repaints. Anyone else just jonesing for a dropship, the ATTE dropship?
Yes. Yeah
I was talking today, and they were saying it'd be like $200 or something like that. They could never make that.
Not really. I mean, it's basically a gunship. They'd have to retool it a little bit. And you got to think most of it's hollow. Yeah, you'd have to spend $100 for the ATTE and maybe another $80 for the drop part. But since we already have the ATTEs, although they're going to repaint them, I have no doubt.
Oh, hey, yeah.
When
they're going to get rid of
them. ATTEs are $15 a piece. Pick up plenty.
Yeah, I got one yesterday.
I don't know how you guys can do that. I'm not a collector. I don't have the money. When I listen to Star Wars Action News, Arnie's talking about like spending $100 on a little ATTE. I'm like, what? I would not be able to do that. Like, I'd buy it and then it'd just be there. I'm like, what am I gonna do with this? I can make a stop motion movie, but that's about it. I don't know. I'll never get the collecting thing. But
the trick to collecting for me is you focus on one thing. A lot of people that I know, they collect either just the bounty hunters or just the Jedi or just the vehicles. We can't all be completionists. So I focus on the clones, and I'm glad, Arnie, that you brought up the repaint issue. A lot of the clones that they put out now are repaints, and I still gobble them up. And I was very excited to see Boyle and Waxer, Commander Jet, the clones with the flamethrowers. I mean, I was all over all these clones. I mean, that's my thing. I collect the clones. I was all over it. I was very happy about this this episode.
Okay, now somebody tell me how cool it was to see, Ki-Adi Mundi call in Orkin to have the flame-throwing clone troopers come in and just exterminate bugs.
That was
only
so cool.
One clone walk up and shoot a Geonosian bug while he's on fire.
There was actually so many times during this episode I felt like I was watching Starship Troopers. Just because all the bugs flying around and flamethrowers and blasters and, oh my god, it was so awesome.
The Geonosians seemed to be a lot more violent and savage than we saw them in episode 2 also. They were swooping down and grabbing clones and throwing them against the wall and dropping them off cliffs. And we didn't see them do anything like that in episode 2. They just kind of ran for their lives.
Well, in episode 2, the droids were fighting, and they weren't really – it was like the general population was at the arena where they're there to watch the show. And here they're fighting. It's like the video game. I don't know. I can't think what –
Republic Commando.
I haven't really played it, but there are some of the Star Wars video games. You know, you're fighting the Geonosians, and they're coming in, they're attacking you. They're much more aggressive. So that's, I think that would be the difference.
Well, you know, the clones didn't really encounter the Geonosians in the arena because they kind of flew in, flew out. But it's funny, you know, Arnie. Now that you brought up video games earlier, when I was watching this episode, Republic Commando jumped at me because I think there was a lot of, and I didn't play a whole lot of that game, but they had a lot of Geonosian, you know, where your Omega Squad or whatever had scenes with the Geonosians. And Glenn, I think you're right. When the Geonosian first swooped in and started carrying some of them off, I felt like I was in a horror movie of some variety. And I can't imagine any clone 4 or 5 feet off the air not just being able to punch their way out of that, but it was still kind of a cool effect. It's like, okay, you're on their turf, you're on their ground, they can fly. Wow, some of you are going to get wiped out by these bugs.
Where were they taking them? Couldn't they have just, you know, twisted their neck and dropped them? You know, I got the feeling that they were cannibals. Not cannibals. They would eat the clones. You're right. It was like a horror type of thing. Oh, so where are they taking them? You know, are they piling them up and burning them? Where are they taking the clones? Could they
That's
just
a mystery.
You know,
like,
toss them in the air and then have another one of your buddies shoot them? You know, it was very, very sci-fi horror terrific.
They were actually in the cave for Ki-Adi-Mundi's little adventure through the cave. That's when it most felt like Republic Commando to me, because half of that game you're on Geonosis in caves with a bunch of Geonosians just flying around, like shooting at you, flying around, trying to do whatever. And it was just, I don't know, it was really cool because I haven't played that game in so long. And I heard that the sequel's coming out in a few years, so I'm very excited about that. And, yeah, that's, I just thought that was, I don't know, it you was know, just really cool to have Republic Commando and then pretty much watching it on TV. So that was cool.
And those flame troopers, just like the snow troopers, in mid season one, their helmets and armor, they do resemble the Republic Commandos a lot too. So that was kind of cool.
If Republic Commandos show up in the show, I'm just going to lose it. I'm going to freak out.
That would be awesome.
Everybody wants to see him.
Okay, now, I'm hoping somebody explained this to me. I didn't put a lot of thought into it, so maybe I'm missing the obvious. But, I mean, we had the counts where Ahsoka and Anakin were keeping score, and Ki-Adi-Mundi kind of keeps score. I don't know if he was just making that up top of his head just to show him up. But someone take – maybe this is connected, maybe it's not. But the fortune cookie, believe in yourself or no one else will. What?
Yeah,
I did not get that at all.
Did that have, like, any relevance to the episode at all?
I mean, is that why they're keeping?
I saw it and I was like, okay.
Is that why they're keeping scores? Because they want to prove themselves or what?
Well, yep. If I might just say so, they believed in themselves and Obi-Wan still didn't. He's like, take it more seriously and all that. So the fact that they were overconfident didn't really help in that regard.
The only thing I kept thinking
seemed like
was
they were almost like cocky about it.
Arnie was right. That's all I kept thinking. Arnie is right. Every time you read these introductions has nothing to do with the story. Believe in yourself. I kept thinking, Arnie is right. He can, you know, he's going to tear this up. And then you're the only one who finds a connection.
Yeah, there was no one having self-doubt that I can recall in this episode.
Or anybody who had to prove themselves or anything. I mean, yeah, you didn't have that internal struggle where the Ahsoka was having one of her, hey, they don't take me seriously moments.
I think the only time in the entire episode where there was any doubt from any character is when Ki-Adi was about to go into the cave and Commander Jett said, are you sure this is the shortest way? And he said, no, I really have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just trusting my instincts on this one. And look where it got him, in a big cave with half of their squad getting carried off by bugs.
Is it only me who thinks that the fortune cookie this week should have been lifted straight out of Mystery Men? And that's, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, because Anakin didn't look at the whole wall thing?
After Ahsoka.
Yeah, that would have been really good, I think. That would have been much better.
They should use the quotes from the movie. They should just use the standard quotes that are in canon. It's almost like they're trying to make up these quotes to mean something, and they're just failing miserably. Can we talk about Ki-Adi-Mundi? We brought him up a couple times, and Arnie said he didn't like the way his head looked. But I, you know, when I saw Ki-Adi-Mundi in the little teaser, I was really excited to see Ki-Adi, because you know, he's in a few video games. He's in a couple books. He has the cool purple lightsaber, which I really like. And, you know, I really expected him to be, I don't know what I expected, because when you saw, like, Mace Windu in a battle, you know, he's doing these super jumps and he's, you know, using his force powers. And I kind of expected Ki-Adi Mundi to move a mountain, to take one of those Republic tanks and just kind of do a force move and rip it in half, you know, show that he's a Jedi master. He's the senior Jedi master in this assault. And he was one of, that was one of the only things I didn't like about this episode was Ki-Adi Mundi. He was just kind of this, he had a couple of good moves where he took his lightsaber and he was cutting down those obstacles for his tanks. But, you know, and then he makes the, at the end of the episode, he says to Anakin, he says, you know, I had blah, blah, blah. And, you know, what do I win? It's like, you know, he saved your butt. He saved your life. You won your life. That's what you win. You know, you try to rub it in his face. He saved you. He called in the airstrike. When you called in the airstrike to Yularen, nothing happened. Yularen laughed in your face to Jet. Anakin calls in the airstrike and he saves you. So I was kind of disappointed with Ki-Adi Mundi. Anyone else?
Actually, there was one where Ki-Adi Mundi seemed like that. It was when Yularen said good luck, and he was just like, there's no such thing as luck, and just drove off.
I know, so snooty. What?
I was like, you could say thank you.
He needs to do some meditating on personal relations.
Yeah.
No, see, that's why it's okay for a Syrian to have a wife and children, because they're not attached to people. Excuse me, attached to people. They don't have attachments to people. So that's why they can have wives with kids, unlike Anakin.
Yeah, doesn't Ki-Adi Mundi have like 40 kids or something?
I'm not sure how many.
No, not Ki-Adi Mundi, multiple wives. I don't know.
Supposedly.
You know, somebody brought up Yularen, and Yularen has been my favorite subject these last few times because he is acting so douchey. And in Arnie's Tom Kane interview, Tom Kane says that, you know, Yularen is on the bridge working with Darth Vader, and he necessarily wasn't a bad guy. You know, he was just kind of an officer. And then he gets into the Imperial fleet and he's just kind of, you know, that's just what happens. He's not necessarily a bad guy, and he may not necessarily be a bad guy when we see him on the bridge with Darth Vader. But I cannot help but think that Yularen is going to have some bigger part, because when the Jet asks for the airstrike, he says to Jet, you know, gives him an answer. I can't, you know, give you anything because we won't have anything over here. But when Skywalker asks for it, you're just in luck. I have a whole squadron ready for you to go. Is he protecting Anakin? And I say this because Palpatine, when they're going over the plan, Palpatine says, do you really need three Jedi generals to go out there to the attack? Because, you know, we all know Palpatine's given the information over to Poggle. So I kind of got the impression that they were trying to protect Anakin. Did anybody else get that?
Well, I think it was just because Anakin is his superior officer, technically, and Ki-Adi's not. So that might just be it.
Well, Ki-Adi should definitely outrank him. He's not his direct fleet admiral, but he should definitely outrank him. Which, by the way, can someone explain this to me? Somebody brought up in the chat, and I've been thinking about this for a little bit, and this episode kind of made me think about it. He's Admiral Yularen here. How does he become Colonel Yularen for the original trilogy? Does he get bumped down because some of poor decisions like this? Because that really jumped out at me that, wait a minute, 2 minutes ago, you told Ki-Adi Mundi that if you send in the airstrike, you're going to mess up the entire battle and the whole plan, and, you know, kind of that needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few type mentality. But when Anakin calls, oh, yeah, hey, I'll get you whatever I got.
Well, if I can interject, Colonel is a ground forces rank, whereas Admiral is a space fleet thing. So what happened is he changed branches somehow, according to Wikipedia. So he kind of went sideways, kind of a ladder.
Yeah. Huh?
Not only that, but Palpatine's putting people in charge. Like, when the Empire comes, he's putting people in charge, like Tarkin. Like, he has no, as far as the Republic is concerned, he's no part of the military. So, I mean, I don't know any EU on this, but I don't know if Tarkin is already like a military officer or if he essentially just bought his way in, bumping everyone else down. So that might have some part of it.
Maybe he got bumped down because Darth Vader remembered all the snooty little comments he gave him. He didn't shut down the rings. You didn't send in my airstrikes. Colonel.
Am I the only one who actually kind of thought Yularen was written well this time? Yeah, I kind of wondered why Yularen suddenly had people when Anakin asked. But when he said no, I mean, these are the hard choices of a military commander. If I reinforce you, then we're losing something else. This is a planetary assault. I kind of liked seeing that versus the endless ability to call in for reinforcements. I kind of liked it, I gotta say. I mean, I realize they're setting him up as an antagonist presence this season, but I don't mind that at all.
I have to agree. I didn't bother me. You know, which is something I noticed about Yularen, that they're really fleshing him out. You know, but there's still something in the, you know, I don't have any proof. I just go by my instincts. I go by my gut. I use the Force. But there is something about Yularen, the way he's switching up, where, you know, somebody's giving him some inside information. That's how I feel. I feel that Obi-Wan knows about Anakin and Padme, too. But, you know, I have been wrong.
Well, and I think part of what didn't make sense, and Arnie, you're right, I think it was well-written dialogue, and it does represent that, hey, we're in a war, and, you know, like I said, needs of the many. But at the same time, the Jedi were there to handle the primary objective. So the thing that went through my mind for a split second, because I was just in awe by the action, but for a split second I thought, well, if you're not going to give these guys additional support, who are you really supporting? I know there's a bunch of other battles going on, you know, to keep the air, you know, the greater airstrike of the Geonosians from just totally coming down on the Jedi. And, you know, I get some of that. I'm not trying to overly scrutinize the show, but to have that dialogue in there and then just counter it a few minutes later just tells me that they're trying to do something more with Yularen's role of yes sir to Anakin and all the other Jedi can kiss off. Maybe I'm hoping for way too much you know, clever character development there, but it's what goes through my mind when I watch this.
But as soon as he got off the phone, was he on the phone directly with Key, or was it his commander when the first airstrike?
It was his commander.
He was talking to a clone, yeah.
Yeah, when he got off the phone with him, he immediately starts asking around for an extra fleet, or an extra fighter squadron. So that kind of gave me the feeling he's like, crap. Okay, the clones are calling. They're going to get the boss on the phone to call for this soon. I better have this up and ready. That was the feeling I got. That's why it was there ready in the wings when Anakin said, okay, we need this.
That's interesting. I didn't catch any of that for some reason. Okay. Well, guys, any other topics? Because, I mean, with so much action here, I struggled a little bit to pull together a topics list since it was just a lot of, you know, we could talk about what our favorite kill and explosion was. But any other topics people have on their minds?
I have a question for those of you who watched this with your kids. There have been a couple of comments in the forums about the brutality both towards and by the Geonosians. Did any of the younger kiddies have any problems with it? I was grooving on it myself, but I'm not five.
Well, I obviously don't have any kids, but I'm pretty sure, like, if they're watching the movies, most of episode 3 is just as intense, if not more. So, I mean, the only part that I would consider questionable for, like, young kids, probably the part with the flamethrower.
I have to say, though, most parents don't let their kids watch episode 3 that I know.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay.
All three of my kids watched it. And they have seen most of episode 3. My two youngest haven't seen after Order 66, and my oldest just recently got to watch Anakin spontaneously combust. But they all three saw it, and there were actually some scenes that were very reminiscent of some of the things in episode 3, like when the gunship blows and we see the clone go flying out and grab hold of the door. That reminded me very much of when the Ark 170 blows and we see the clone flying through space in the beginning. So it seemed to be pretty much in line. And with, yeah, the showing of the bodies flying, that was a new thing for episode 3. But I mean, it's Star Wars. It's wars in the title. You're going to get some people dying and things blowing up. It kind of goes with the territory. So.
Yeah, I mean, my son was 4 when Revenge of the Sith came out, and I actually, when the whole Anakin scene was happening on Mustafar, I'd already seen the movie, so I took that as an opportunity to say, hey, Josh, do you want to go get a popcorn? And then we left, because I didn't want him seeing that part. But now he's 8. This episode doesn't faze him, I mean, or at least that I can tell. He's not asking me questions about, you know, he's not saying anything like, hey, did he just kill that guy? No, he gets it. It's a bug, and my son, you know, squishes bugs for fun. So it's one of those things where, to him, it's not like a real human. Even a clone in an armored outfit just kind of dehumanizes a little bit, and I don't think they get it. Now, perhaps I'm desensitizing my children to violence and things like that, and I hope that's not the case, but there wasn't a reaction. There wasn't a strong reaction, I don't think.
My son loved it, and my wife didn't. The first time, my son's five, we kind of watched all of the Star Wars movies when he was four. We started four, and it just so happened my wife walked into the scene where Luke Skywalker gets his arm chopped off by Darth Vader. And she's like, "What are they watching?" And I said, "Oh, it's fine, it's fine." No, it goes back, you know, Artie has another podcast, Now Playing Podcast, and they talk about... he was talking about the Halloween. They're doing a Halloween retrospective or a Saw retrospective. And they say that, you know, when the movies that a 7-year-old is going to watch now is not the same as when we were seven and the movies we watched. And I just think the whole culture is kind of, desynthesized. And he didn't, to not to get off topic too much, but he didn't. My son loved it, you know, and we just have to explain to him, you know, it's cartoon violence. And I don't think that Mr. Lucas would put anything up there that wasn't, tested and approved and such. Is that too deep?
No, I just love you for mentioning Now Playing, the award-nominated podcast that our listeners can find at nowplayingpodcast.com.
So
did anybody else happen to notice that they stopped putting the little warnings before every episode? Well, I mean, they kind of just say, hey, this is TV. Like PGV for violence or whatever. But in season one, starting with, I forget what it's called, but the one where Gonokt gets stabbed, they were putting like a legitimate warning before each commercial break or whatever. They just stopped doing that. Is that because they just figure, okay, I'm sure everybody knows by now, people are going to die. This is going to be a crazy episode. Star Wars, The Clone Wars.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised by that too, with the time change, with it being at 8 o'clock Eastern. I actually thought we were going to get more of it, truth be known.
Well, it did pop up before the the first or the second commercial break, before all the killing started. It came up with the V for Violence just to remind everybody that it was going to happen. That's how I knew people was going to start dying, because that popped up.
But like in season one, they would mention it like any chance they get, and not really much happened. In this. This whole episode was freaking war zone, and they just kind of did a little thing at the beginning. It was like, okay, yeah, this is going to be violent. But they did that for Senate Spy. Not a single episode was shot. I mean, not a single blaster was shot. Whew. But, that's not really a reliable tool, is it?
But they poisoned a girl.
Oh, yeah. Poisoning is bad. It is frowned upon. All right, I guess.
Okay, well, if there's no other comments, we'll go through kind of our wrap-up here, and then also tell us what you thought about the tag for next week's episode, where it looks like Ahsoka and Barriss go off on a little bit of a side mission, which I'm not sure how much I'm looking forward to next week's episode being a lot of fun, to be honest with you, but let's go down and let's see what y'all think. Glenn, why don't you start us off?
I was tremendously excited by the preview for next week, because as I've griped numerous times, please, 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 please show me another Padawan. So I was very excited to finally see one. So, of course, it's one that we're already familiar with, but at least that's a start. I think that reading the description of next week, I think that there's, you know, it's just sort of the subplot, there's some sort of misdirection going to be going on. But I think there's going to be a little bit more than what they sort of showed in the preview. Well, obviously, there'd be 21 more minutes than they showed in the preview. But I'm very excited to see another Padawan. I'm excited to see more of the battle and trying to see them actually try to take out this shield generator. I'm very much looking forward to next week. I still like this week's, even if Arnie didn't think there should have wanted there to be more story. I think the story was, you know, when you're in a battle, there's not a lot of plot. It's like you're just trying to reach your objective. And they sort of reached, you know, a first point in the objective. So it's a sort of multi-stage battle, and that's what you need to have. I mean, lots of these episodes have like, you know, 2 minutes of action, and then there's this long, you know, Arnie says, oh, he was bored after that. Well, I don't think Arnie was bored during this episode. I really liked it. I'm looking forward to next week and perhaps the following weeks to see them finally destroy this Geonosis factory, which I presume will happen. But maybe I'll be wrong about that. But I was very happy this week, and I'm looking forward to next week.
All right, Dave.
I, like I said before, this week, Christmas morning, I was freaking out. I can't wait for next week. However, something tells me one of those Padawans is going to annoy the hell out of me. I don't know if it's going to be Ahsoka or Barriss, or maybe even both. But as Dave Filoni said in some video, I forget which one, the one where he was introducing Barriss Offee, he was saying that Barriss is essentially the exact opposite of Ahsoka. Barriss is what a Padawan, quote-unquote, should be. Now, I mean, Han and Luke, complete opposites. It works. R2 and 3PO, complete opposites. It works. I don't know if this is going to work, because it seems like they're too much of opposites. Like, if
they clearly don't shop at the same stores.
Yeah, like, if you put two kids, like I was saying with Han and Luke, they're adults. Two adults who don't necessarily get along, they'll eventually find some way to work it out. Two kids who don't get it out, get along, that's going to be a bumpy road. I don't know what's going to happen next week. And I'm thinking Barriss is going to annoy me more just because I'm used to Ahsoka. Like, if they had introduced next week, it would have been too much. It would have been like two teenage girls just bickering the entire time. But I don't know. Because I'm already used to Ahsoka, I think it's just going to be Barriss. It's like, okay, you know, Ahsoka's crazy. She'll do whatever. Barriss, stop being so not protective, but, you know, she's safe. Because Luminara is very proper and polite, and Barriss is learning from Luminara. That's just, I don't know, it's going to be too much contrast. And I'm excited to see how it's going to work, but I don't know if it is going to work. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But like I said, this episode, awesome.
All right, Mr. Rockstar.
Well, I really enjoy this episode. It was lots of stuff blowing up and clones doing cool things, and even Jedi managing to pull stuff off. Hopefully, since this is going to be a four-part arc, this is the action episode. We'll get some story, and it'll all round out in the end. As far as next week episode goes, I look at it like this. This is going to be the first episode where we see Ahsoka and Offee together. I don't think this will be the last time. This is going to be the first one. They're going to hate each other, going to annoy each other. And we're going to see this pop up time and time again, and they're going to start getting closer, and they're going to be friends. And then by the end of the series, when we get the second concluding movie that I predict, write that down, they're going to have their Thelma and Louise moment. And that's what's going to happen to those two. But
unfortunately, because this is a kid's show, you're probably 100% correct. That's probably exactly what's going to happen. They're all going to hate each other, and by the end, they all learn their lesson. They put all their differences aside.
That's right.
Before you know it, they're going to be best friends. Before you know it, they're going to be texting each other, BFF, see you later, girlfriend. I mean, it's all going to happen.
Then in season 3, they fight over Joe Jonas, and
oh god,
yeah. And then they get on iCarly, and it all goes awry.
And then at the
curse end, you kids shows.
The end of the fourth season, they get their speeder license.
Then Barriss Offee's mother creates a fake Facebook account to convince Ahsoka.
Oh no! Don't go there. That's terrible.
Wow. Too soon.
But yeah,
End the show on that note.
I have bad feelings about what next week episode is leading into as far as it becoming. I don't know. Maybe Clone Wars is going to try to compete with the teenage girl show genre too. Let's try to grab everybody. Why not? But we'll see. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I have a bad feeling I'm not.
It's going to happen. It's going to turn into a Star Wars version of The Hills. Well,
maybe. We'll see. I don't think I'm going to regret wanting to see another Padawan. I think you guys have surprisingly lower expectations than I have, but we'll see.
Okay, Barrett, bring us back to Earth, would you?
Now, for this episode, I didn't bring this up, but Anakin was finally teaching Ahsoka something this episode, and it had to be within the wartime. You know, Ahsoka brings up the, you know, what if Obi-Wan is hurt? And he says, Ahsoka, you know, we can't think about that right now. You know, he was actually training her. So I like that about this episode. I love the action. I love all the clones. I'm a clone guy. I love it, love it, love it. You can give me clone in camouflage with the same helmet, make him red, make him blue, make him pink. I'm getting all the clones. You know, I collect them all. And I loved it. I love this episode. 3D all the way. I just, you know, write this down. I think it's going to be a 3D episode. I mean, you know, the plot. I know Arnie had a hard time with the plot, but to me, this was just, I know they're going to give me plot. You know, they gave me plot with Senate Spine. I mean, some would say too much plot, Jerry, but they gave me plot. And, you know, it's nice to have one where they're just giving me no plot. And they're just giving me guns and lasers and lightsabers and force use and clones, and it was all good. As far as the next episode goes, you know, I'm a big fan of Star Wars, but a lot of my Star Wars knowledge, I've said before, comes from the movies, what's on screen. And most of my knowledge from Barriss Offee is from the Tartovsky, I hope I pronounced his name correctly, the first Clone Wars series where Barriss and her master are making a lightsaber. And they're using their force, and they're putting all the lightsaber together, and they're in sync. Anakin was never in sync with Obi-Wan. Ahsoka, you could arguably say, they're not in sync. Barriss and her master are in sync. She is what a Padawan is supposed to be. And to answer your question, I forgot who brought it up, who's going to be more annoying. Ahsoka is going to be more annoying. Okay, Ahsoka is always more annoying. And I cannot wait to see the dynamic. And I hope they don't get along, you know, because if Barriss and Ahsoka get along, to me, that would just ruin the whole thing. You know, we want them not to get along. We want Ahsoka to think that she's the big mucky muck because she's with Anakin and she's been tested on the battlefield. And, you know, we want Barriss Offee to be the, you know, the meek, you know, understanding Padawan. And I'm very excited to see how they're going to flesh out Barriss Offee in this next episode. And I just want to say, you know, I missed you guys the last 2 weeks. I know we're electronic buddies, but it's good to be back. And I can't wait for the next episode and the next roundtable.
All right, Mr. Arnie.
I would like to correct the stance that Berent just put on my phrase. It's not that I had a problem with the plot. It's that the plot was non-existent. I can't have a problem with something that doesn't exist. That's like me being mad at my imaginary friend. No.
Again, in my place, I go.
This episode, you know what? It's so easy for me to armchair quarterback TV people. I know people pretty well who actually work and make livings in television, and far be it from me to tell them how to do their job. I wouldn't like it if they come to me and tell me how to write my algorithms. But that said, having watched a lot of television in my life, I feel like I have learned a few things. Like, if you take the TV show Lost, it's one of my favorites, the creators of Lost realized that their show isn't for everyone. And they realized, especially in certain seasons when they went a little bit more sci-fi, that certain audience members were going to not take that journey with them. By the same token, somebody earlier mentioned The Hills. I don't watch The Hills. However, the reason being, I know what to expect from The Hills. I watch The Soup, I've seen clips of The Hills, I know what it is. In most television, I believe that especially American viewers like their television to be like comfort food. They sit down and they know what to expect going in. The single television producer today who doesn't seem to follow that rule is Dave Filoni, because the Clone Wars is so inconsistent. Because last week we have this virtual drama and some political stuff that I really kind of enjoyed. This week you have a video game, and next week it looks like you've got something for the Disney tween set. Who is this show aimed at? It's like every niche could find an episode or two they like, but there's no format here for me. And I just, you know, this episode, if this was the Clone Wars video game, I'd be giving it 5 stars because I would have gotten to play with some flamethrowers. As it was, I checked out of this episode about 10 minutes in, and every so often, all I could say was, wow, that looked cool. By and large, video games don't provide me with the same kind of dramatic experience I want from a storytelling medium, not an interactive medium, but a storytelling medium, which television is. So therefore, this episode didn't hit home with me other than, yeah, that looked really cool. But like Jerry said earlier, maybe when I watch the whole arc, that's perhaps possible. As for next week, I'm actually looking forward to it. I want to see what they do with a new Padawan. And, you know, everybody's saying they think Ahsoka is going to be all hot stuff because I'm with Anakin. How about, you know, I think Barazofi has something that, well, my master's actually a master.
Kazing!
Well, and you know what? Again, really enjoyed this episode. I think it's it was a lot of fun, and I have some high hopes for this story, the four, maybe five part that's considered. But that being said, like the tag, I'm not looking into it with great anticipation. I don't look at it thinking, oh wow, I can't wait to see the interaction between Ahsoka and this Padawan that we know very little about and isn't a major player in the universe. So. I'm gonna give it a chance. Obviously, I'll watch it. I'll want to like it, but I'm just thinking, okay, let's just see what they do with it. And that's fine. That's fine. I'm sure I'll be surprised at least one way or the other. Be fun to see what they do with it. I do expect there certainly be an odd couple sort of thing here where they're gonna certainly probably disagree over. Let's go this way. Let's go this way. Or, no, follow my instinct, no, I've been training longer, and one thing that I'm hoping for, and I know I'm not going to get this, maybe it'll be the start of something between, you know, okay, and Assigned, where Ahsoka looks at Barazofi and her relationship with Luminara and think, hey, you know what, they're the same species, they're the same, and maybe there's something there that maybe I need to hook up with, Shaak Ti or something. Maybe I need someone more like that. I want to see her in this series, you know, not die like everyone's saying. That's not going to happen. But just something to where she starts growing away from Anakin. It's just to create some loss without having the tragic, oh my god, they killed her type thing. Because they're not going to do that. They need her in the show. I mean, if it happens in the show, it'll be the last episode of the series when they say, okay, we're done. But that being said, I think this has been great, and I look forward to it. So, if there's no other comments...
And I want to give another thanks to Glenn for the Clone Wars Roundtable audio. Thank you so much, Glenn.
All right. Thanks, Glenn.
Welcome, and you can go watch... If you can't wait for tomorrow, you can go watch it on my Flickr account.
And we're going to be back next week, same Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time time. So, I want to thank everybody in the chat for coming out. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
This has been the Republic Forces Radio Network, your source for Clone Wars coverage. Please visit our website at republicforces.com to join in our forums and find out more about the show. For more Star Wars podcasts, listen to Star Wars Action News, your source for Star Wars collecting, news, reviews, and updates. Star Wars Action News can be found at swactionnews.com. Republic Forces Radio Network is a Venganza Media production. Copyright 2008. Star Wars and all that the Star Wars universe contains is trademarked and copyright Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. Republic Forces Radio Network, your Clone Wars news leader.